Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I am Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Dark Hearts.
Oh, I definitely hesitated there. I like forgot what I was going to say, you guys. And it's pretty simple. So sorry for the lag there on the, or the hesitation, I should say. Yeah, it's just crazy. We've had a crazy week, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
And if you listened to our previous little mini-sode, yeah, I mean, and if you haven't, you should. You probably will, I'm guessing, since it comes before this episode, but.
Yeah, I guess it depends on if they listen to most recent first.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And then down. I personally play it by chronological order.
Yeah, that's it. I do that too. Otherwise, I get confused sometimes, but.
Right.
Yeah, we've had a ton of people reaching out the past, even just week. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty crazy because I had to go back and look at the episode that people were reaching out in regards to, because I feel like we have done so much since then. So it was like, I needed to go back and refresh my mind about what it was. But we've had a wonderful community, people reaching out to us, positive feedback. But I feel like it's just been a very eye-opening experience for us in regards to Indigenous people and the lack of just investigation and caring and empathy for them.
And reporting on these cases.
Yeah. It's devastating. I mean, we knew that, but then when you hear from them firsthand, and I think they have just been so kind and so grateful for us to just even share even a little part of their stories, you know? So I think that just is eye-opening too, that we need to continue to do that, which I think we always, I mean, planned on doing that anyway.
Yes. Yes.
But it is very sad to hear from them firsthand too, that how it really is. So, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I won't go into that too much because Cassie covered a lot of that in her little mini-sode that we did. So, I mean, other than that, I guess, I don't know. Do you have anything specific that you want to share before we kind of start in on our new case?
Listen, I don't even know. I barely know what day it is right now.
Agreed.
Yesterday when I went to work was so weird because I didn't have to go in until later. Uh-huh. And then it just like threw my entire day off because when I thought it was only like 12:30, it was actually like 3 o'clock.
Because it didn't change at all outside. It's been cloudy and gloomy nonstop. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like I usually go pick up my daughter from school, I usually can tell because the light has changed. I mean, I do look at the clock, but
I mean, yeah,
I was like, oh, okay. Is it 9 a.m. or is it 3 p.m.? And it's like that again today. It's very gloomy. However, we're getting just like a shit ton of rain, which is super bizarre for December. I heard thunder last night.
Did you? I must have been passed out.
Yeah. And I was like blown away because I know my family back in Western Nebraska, they have just gotten pummeled with snow. School was all canceled and all the things. And I know in South Dakota, there was
South Dakota,
as well.
We just found out. Yeah. That they're supposed to get like 2 feet. And so I'm thankful we don't have that.
I'll take this any day.
Goodness. Yes.
But still.
It's just been, you know. Yeah, it's been interesting. I did see one of my clients who he happened to listen to our last episode, and he was like, you know, if you ever need to call out, I'm not going to be mad. I was like, I know. My Monday clients are good. It's the other days, the people I don't know that I worry about. But
I know.
He was so sweet. Mondays, it gets crazy, and there are sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to go, but I love my Monday people. It's always usual, you know.
I know Mondays aren't that bad. I like Mondays because they're it's like the Monday, but I always have so much work to do that it usually flies by. So,
I mean, yeah.
Unpopular opinion, Mondays aren't terrible. I mean, they are, but
I mean,
I'd rather just not work at all. But, you know.
You know, we're approaching holiday time. I think I'm mostly ready for that. I just keep telling myself every day, I'm like, okay. After the 19th, you are off until whatever that Saturday in January is, the 7th or something.
Yeah, that's not bad. You got this.
No. So I just keep telling myself that it's fine. And you know what's nice is also that client brought me Ferrero Rocher chocolates, which who doesn't love those?
So me.
Thank you.
But
you're
that's
crazy.
Nice. Thank you for getting that for Cassie, but I don't like them. Thank you.
How do you not like them? They are delightful.
I don't know. I'm weird. Yeah, once again,
Yeah, you
unpopular
are.
opinion. That's going to be my phrase of the day, I guess. But yeah, I don't know.
Also, real quick, I know we could talk about this about the end, but remind me, did you watch the Worst Neighbor or Worst Roommates Ever, right, on
Yes,
Netflix?
I meant to respond to you when I read your or heard your message
Yeah.
yesterday. Yeah, I watched that a long time ago. I don't know that I could re remember necessarily a lot of the episodes because I watched that like I don't even know
I
when that
came out
came
a
out.
while ago,
Yeah.
but the squatter, do you remember the two-parter? The last two episodes were about the professional squatter. He would squat in people's houses, apartments for
I think so.
years.
Yes. And it's like they're because of certain laws and stuff, they couldn't actually kick
Yeah.
him out. Yes, I do remember that because I was
He
like,
was
this guy
like,
is like a trained criminal. I mean, he
yeah, I
knows
was
the
so
ins and
torn.
outs.
I was so torn. I'm like, on the one hand, I know we need like these laws to protect renters, but on the other hand, maybe there's too much protection and we need to like redefine some of these.
That's a good one, guys. That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, and there I binged it. I think there was like five episodes, maybe.
Yeah, there's not a lot, but they were all very different cases, if I
They
recall,
were.
because I was very intrigued. It was good. I love those kind of shows, so.
Yeah, the first case I knew about, I had heard about. It was the older woman who ran a boarding house and like
Yes,
killed the other
yes.
elderly people.
That was so terrible. That was
Yeah.
sickening, but
Yeah.
guys, watch that. My other thing, I just have to say, because the finale was just on Sunday night, if anyone has watched White Lotus season
I
two finale, please reach out to me. I need someone to discuss it with, and I don't know anyone that watches it, and I'm obsessed with that show
It's on
because
my list
Jennifer
to
Coolidge is
watch.
amazing.
It's on my list to watch just because Aubrey Plaza's in it and I
Oh yeah,
love
I love
her.
her. She's just on the
Which
second season, but
Oh, okay, that's good to know.
it's different
But
places. The White Lotus is like a
Oh.
chain. So like the first
Okay.
season, they're in like at the White Lotus, like like Marriott or whatever
Gotcha.
in
So
Hawaii. Then they're
is it
in
still the same
Italy.
people? Or is it like an
Only
in
there's well, Jennifer Coolidge, if you know who she is, she's I love
Yes.
her. So she's on both seasons, but she's
Makes me
the
want a hot
only
dog real bad.
I love her. I feel like she plays the same character all the time,
I'm
too.
not mad about it.
I know. She's fantastic. So she is in both seasons, but she's the only one. But
Gotcha. Okay.
yes, what's her name is in the second season, and I
Okay.
adore her. And I also
Okay.
just watched that other movie that she's in that's now on Netflix,
Emily
The
the Criminal?
Criminal.
Okay, I haven't
Yes.
watched it yet because I just
Pretty
found out it
good.
was on Netflix.
I
So
have no
that'll
life,
remind
it
me
sounds
to
like. I've
watch.
watched everything, but I would like to reiterate that I work at home and I'm on a computer all day, so I have it on in the background just because, like, or I'll put music on sometimes, but usually I just play something in the background. And then if it gets really good, I have to like wait and watch it later because then I miss stuff. But it was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. Like, it's
Yeah.
fine. But yeah,
Fantastic.
so that's where we're
Okay.
at on that. But
Yeah.
yeah.
Also, you guys, I
Okay.
know we kind of do this at the end sometimes, but rate, review wherever you're at.
Yes.
We
That's
appreciate it.
huge.
Follow,
Yes,
like and
that helps
follow on
us.
whatever platform. So there we go. All right,
Cool.
Shannon.
Got that all out of the way. Okay,
Yeah.
guys, this week we are going to Missouri, or
Oh.
Missouri, as some people say. I don't know why people say that ever, actually, but
It doesn't end in UH or even an
yeah.
A.
Don't you hear people say that though?
I
No?
have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or, Mizzou, all the things. Okay.
Isn't Mizzou like a college though, or like,
Yeah,
okay.
that's like the college.
Yeah.
Mizzou, I only know that
Okay.
because of like college football crap. Okay. So we are in Missouri. And the crime itself will take place, I believe, in Ava, Missouri, but we'll kind of come back to that here in a bit. So also, which I guess I'll tell you at the end. I did watch a documentary on this. It was an episode of Snapped, which is on Peacock. If you have Peacock, that's where I watched it. I'll give you all the details of the season and episode later. So that way you can get into that. But it's actually crazy because when I found this case, I saw that this episode of Snapped just premiered in October of 2022. So it's a fairly recent episode. So it's easy to
Okay.
find too because it's like just in the
Nice.
most recent season. So, Okay, so we're going to talk about Philip Taylor. So he was born in 1966 in Florida. He was really close with his siblings. I don't know exactly how many. I know he had several brothers and a sister, just a very tight-knit family. They said he was always a really happy kid for the most part. He did lose his father when he was younger, and he did kind of take that with him, the rest of his life and kind of struggled with that. Some of his exes mentioned that that was something that he did struggle with quite a bit. So, when he was a teenager, he developed a love for cars and how they worked. So he actually dropped out of high school in order to pursue his dream of working on cars. So he started working at a Ford dealership in Florida. He learned a ton there and gained lots of experience. So he was a very good mechanic, it sounds like. And I'm glad someone is because I am not. So,
Me neither.
yeah, I'm the person that when I take my car in and then they say, like, oh, something's wrong with the Jackson pole and phalange. I'm like, okay, just fix it. Here's $1,000. Not really, but yeah. Okay. So, and he was a good guy, I mean, from all accounts. So by his mid-20s, he decided he's had enough of Florida. He kind of wants a change. So he moves to Missouri. So this is where he meets Melvin Elliott. So Melvin kind of long term becomes kind of like a mentor to him. He talks on that Snapped episode a lot, and he's just like the cutest, sweetest old man. So he owned his own mechanic shop there in town, and he had met Phil, and he knew that he or he could tell that he knew a ton about mechanics. So he hired him on, and he worked there for a long time. So during this time that he's working at this shop, he would frequent a restaurant that was nearby. So this restaurant was where he actually met Melina Cooley, who was a waitress. So she was a single mom and she had a 3-year-old daughter, and she said that he was just quite the gentleman. So he would often go there just to see her. So they hit it off. They end up getting married in 1994. They became a family quickly with him. He really just, I mean, took her daughter in as his own, and she was really the only dad that she knew. They said he was just a wonderful father. And then Melina ends up getting pregnant shortly after them getting married. And so then she has a daughter. And so, there was the four of them, and he would just do lots of fun stuff with the girls. They said he would always take them fishing and they'd go ride in dune buggies and stuff
Oh,
like that.
fun.
Yeah. And so also, I don't even know if I mentioned Ava, the town Ava, Missouri. I think I took it out of my notes to enter it later in and I never did, but it's just a very small town. It says in the Ozark Mountains. So it's under
Okay.
like 3,000 people. So we're talking very small town. I mean, I think you
Gotcha.
kind of get the vibe of that anyway. But yeah, so they're married, living their good life. So a couple years later into their relationship, not really sure what spawned it, but Phil kind of seemed to just be getting bored of, I don't know, playing house, family life, whatever. So he started kind of hanging out with a younger crowd, and this crowd partied a lot. So Phil was definitely one of the older guys in the group.
So it's like a midlife
And
crisis thing.
I, yeah, totally. So he would go out with them all the time and just drink. So he was on his way quickly to becoming an alcoholic. As he was hanging out with them, a woman started hanging out with them, friends of friends, and her name was April Quick. He was immediately attracted to her, but she was 17 and there was at least a 10-year age gap between them. I would just like to share. Gross. Yeah. I mean, I guess when
Yeah.
you're older, like 17, it's better than like 12. You know what I mean? But
I
like
mean,
where
but
you're almost an adult,
still.
but still, like you're a married man with kids,
17,
and
and
she's
he's
a
like,
17-year-old.
so he's like 27.
Yeah. This time,
So
I
it's
don't
not even
even.
such an early midlife crisis. I
I
guess
know.
when
So I
you
guess
drop
when I
out of
say,
high
yeah, midlife, he was
school,
just, I don't even know.
I mean,
Yeah,
maybe
'cause he
some of those
dropped
things,
out.
like
So I guess
if
he
he.
grew up faster than
Right. So maybe he then
most.
was like, oh, hey, I missed out on this and I want to try to relive it and
Yeah.
hang out with these children. Because I'm sorry, you're almost
Children.
30. She's
Yeah.
17. She's a child.
Correct. And I was thinking
Gross.
about all that later on, and I'm like, maybe the laws are different in Missouri as far as age and legal.
I
I'm
mean,
not quite
age of
sure.
consent is so weird. It wouldn't surprise
Yeah.
me, but
Yeah. I know.
yeah.
Weird, right? So, you know, this cute 17-year-old girl he's attracted to. So they party together all the time and they eventually start having an affair. So April knows that he is married. Like, he does not hide that fact at all. She didn't care. She was very determined to get him and have him to herself. So this is weird because it said that he even bought her, like, I don't know if it was a house or an apartment or rented a place. He bought her a place in Mansfield, which is very close to Ava, Missouri. And because he wanted her to stay close. I don't know where she was from originally, right, but he wanted her, his side piece is kind of how they referred to her as,
yeah,
to be close. And she's like, okay, yes, please.
I did Google, 17-year-olds can consent to sex with anyone 14 years or older.
Oh.
Yeah. But that doesn't make sense because if he's 17, how is a 14-year-old? You can't consent. What?
How does this wait, 14? Right, because then the 14-year-old can't legally consent, so...
Anyone 14 years or older. I don't understand that. How does that make sense?
It doesn't at all.
Okay.
I'm disturbed a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Sorry. I so, had to look
no,
that
because
up then.
I wanted to look some of that up when I was researching this, and then I clearly forgot to go back and look that up. So thanks for that, because that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's living nearby, very close by, so he could see her at all times, pretty much. So his wife, Melina, who is lovely, by the way, I mean, on the documentary, she just seemed very sweet. And like, I feel bad for her because your husband's a jackass at this point, you know, like she knew that he was having an affair. And I guess several times, like three different times throughout this whole time span, they kind of tried to work through it. You know, he said it was done, but it wasn't, whatever. So finally, good for her. After about a year and a half of this BS, she's like, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. So they get divorced in 1998. So after their divorce is final, Phil and April move to Florida and they leave behind Phil's daughter and stepdaughter who,
gross.
Yeah, like, and especially after being such a big figure in their life. I mean, yeah. I know they were little, but like, how do you do that? I don't get that.
No, I don't either. So in the beginning I was like, oh man, he's clearly the one murdered. This is so sad. Now I'm like, maybe you got what was coming. And I'm sorry. Like, I don't know the full story, but right now you abandon children. That's real shitty. I'm not saying you deserve to die, but I'm not going to be that sad.
I mean, this one's kind of an interesting story. So like, you're right, but you're also wrong. You know what I mean? You'll see. You'll see. You're on the right track, sort of, kind of.
Okay.
First, we're going to talk about what a piece of shit he is, and then we'll talk about how he's actually not a piece of shit. And, you know, you'll see where we're going with
fine.
This.
Can't
so,
I just hate him, please?
I know. I know, right? Right. So once they go to Florida, April pretty much gets pregnant like right away. So she's 18, pregnant. You know, and keep in mind, Phil had been partying, like living that lifestyle. So now that she's pregnant, he's like, dang, you know, I have to change
didn't
my
I
whole
just
lifestyle.
Leave? Like, did yeah. I just leave that life behind?
Right. And now I'm going to be a dad again. Cool. So he's having a hard time adjusting to this. So by now, he's just like a full fledged alcoholic. I mean, drinking all the time, not really present. They even mention him using drugs. They don't say what, but clearly we just see the path he's going down. So after April has the baby, she almost immediately gets pregnant again. So now another baby's coming. So Phil's just like beside himself. So which also I'm like, you know, there are ways to like prevent that from happening.
I was going to say that with the first one. I was like, you're like 30 years old. Do we not know how to prevent that?
Right. She's young, fertile, myrtle, I guess. I mean,
also after you have, like after you give birth, I guess you're more fertile.
Yeah. That's what they say. And they're like, that's why you have to be extra careful. Which, yeah. I mean, they weren't. But also, they don't sound like the sharpest people. So, yeah, no.
Oh, my.
So, she's pregnant again. So, he's just like, I mean, they said he was just out of control. It got so bad that at a point during all of this, he actually had to have a major surgery where he almost died. So, I'm not sure, didn't go into details on that. But something related to, I'm sure, drinking has just, you know, damaged his body.
Right.
So, that you think would be somewhat of a wake-up call, you know? So after this happens, they decide to move back to Missouri. So they go back to Missouri now with their two kids.
Does he go back to Ava, where his other two kids are?
Well, we'll find out. Oh, God, I mean, not okay. yet, let's just say. So he actually goes straight to rehab there, I'm guessing, somewhere there. And April moves in with her parents. So when he gets out of rehab, he moves into her parents' house with her and the kids too, which I'm like, this just doesn't sound like a good situation. So after he's out of rehab and back there, guess what? April gets pregnant again.
Jesus.
Yeah. So now we're three. I mean, and then he has his other bio daughter with Melina, and then the stepdaughter, which is basically his daughter. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to take away from that. So I don't know. I mean, this clearly rehab didn't really do anything because he's just like partying now, and it's amped up so much that he eventually just like dips out. So he leaves and goes back to Florida by himself this time. April stays behind in Missouri with the three kids. And this is when his life just really starts kind of spiraling out of control. So in 2007, he missed several child support payments, and turns out they will throw you in jail for that. So he gets thrown into jail. Turns out this was actually the best thing that really happened for him, which is funny because, you know, you think rehab would help, but like in jail, they really don't give a shit. Like they're not going to try to slowly do withdrawal, you know, like,
well, nah. And the thing is though, too, is like with alcoholism and any sort of addiction, like that's such a tough disease.
Oh, absolutely.
That every person's rock bottom is different. So like, apparently yeah. it's a jail for him to be like, yeah, oh shit, totally. I fucked up.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm glad, but you know.
Yeah, that's, you know.
It's sad that it came to that, but at the same time, it could have been a lot worse. So I'm glad that that's the reason he went, and it wasn't for like a violent crime or something.
Right.
I mean, please take care of your children, but also, yeah, you didn't hurt anyone. So I guess
at least not physically.
Yeah. I was just like, at least we both said that at the same time. Clearly, dang, this man. Okay. So he completely, you know, sobers up while he's in there. I don't know exactly how long he was in. It didn't really say. But they said that when he was in jail, he had like a major just change of heart about his life. And he decides enough is enough. So once he gets out, he moves back to Missouri, and he vowed to both April and Melina that he was ready to be a dad, and he really wanted to be there for his children. He was working a ton, and because he wanted to provide for his kids, you know, financially, and he just cared a lot about what he did for his job. I think that was really just his passion. And so he was doing that. He was attending church all the time. They said he really had seemed to just turn his life around. So he even had reached out to his stepdaughter, who was older now, and he made amends with her, which was actually kind of cool. And she talks on there a lot too, and said he was just a very hardworking guy, and he really did care for his kids. Even though he up and left them several times, he came back around and realized that that's where his ultimate, like, you know, his priority was. So
yeah,
he even opened up his own mechanic shop. So he was really excited about that. So this was all after he moved back to Missouri. So sadly, only about 5 months after he moved back, he was actually killed. So we're going to talk about that now. September 10th of 2010, around 10:30-ish p.m., a call comes into 911. The caller said that they were at this roadside park, and they found a body in the road that was face down, covered in blood. So the police arrive, and they said it was immediately obvious that there was a gunshot wound to his left temple. The body was still warm, so this clearly happened pretty recently. He hadn't been there for very long. You know, so the cops interview the witnesses who called 911, of course, first to make sure they were able to clear them quickly. And they decided they really just called out of concern. So there was a truck that was still at the scene, which was probably the deceased. So they run the plates on that. And they also find a wallet between the body, and there was an ID in there. And they're able to determine that this is Philip Taylor. So, you know, and in a small town, they were all kind of familiar with who he was. So it was weird because his wallet had been taken out of his pocket and there was blood transfer on it. So it kind of appeared like he had been robbed. So they look at the body and they see stab wounds on the back of his head, which
Oh.
made police think, you know, that there was two people involved in this attack and that someone came from behind. So they also looked at this as the possibility that it was could have been staged as a robbery. There were two chest stabbings, a couple on his back of his head, lots on his actual back, his elbow, and even his forearm, as well as the gunshot to the head. So this was a really just gruesome attack. And we all know that generally when they're brutal like that, it's probably because there's a very personal connection there.
Right.
So, more about kind of the autopsy, they were able to determine that the gunshot was made with very close contact. They also believed that the stab wounds were made first in order to incapacitate him, to get him down, and then whatever else was planned. At the scene, they found a 22 caliber brass, which comes from a semi-automatic weapon. But other than that, there was really not a lot of evidence. This park was kind of located like outside of town, just in the middle of nowhere. There's no cameras, there's no eyewitnesses. Plus, it was late at night. Like, why are you out at this park?
Right.
So they kind of are like, well, what do we do? So they first meet with his shop's landlord. So the landlord also rented space. Well, he rented space to fill to run his shop there. And then he also let him live in a trailer that was on that same property. So he said that Phil was really just a devoted father and he was really devoted to his sobriety. He said that the last time he had seen him was that night at about 6 p.m. when he was leaving work. He was really tired and he had a lot of work the next day, so he figured he was probably just going home to rest. He did say, though, that one thing about Phil was that Phil always had a girlfriend. Not always serious, but always there was someone, always there, which kind of sounds like it. Like, you
I
know.
mean, yeah, you can't be alone. Yeah.
Correct. One of those. So Tammy was his newest girlfriend. He met her online and there had been some, you know, small town rumors, all the little talk going around. There was talk that Phil had been involved with a married woman, and there was a lot of drama that went with that. There was also some rumors going around that he had been out on a date with Tammy when they ran into one of his previous girlfriends, and that an argument ensued between Tammy and the ex-girlfriend, but they didn't have a lot of details. All they knew was that Tammy was actually married, go figure here, right? She was married, but going through a divorce. So,
Okay.
just a lot of relationship drama that kind of surrounds Phil all the time,
Yeah.
it seems like. So, cops, you know, they searched the trailer that he had lived in. They don't find much. They did find an empty cell phone box, but the phone was nowhere in the trailer or at the crime scene. They also found a post-it note with handwritten directions to Tammy's house. And then the last thing they found, kind of importance, was a certified letter that he had written to April Quick, which was the woman, you
Yeah.
know, the younger one. Okay.
The three babies.
Yes. And so she lived in Arkansas. And this letter said that he wanted to see his children, and it wasn't fair that he was paying child support and not seeing them. And it said that if she did not let him see the children, he would get an attorney. So the letter, because it was a certified letter, it required a response by a specific date. And that date, ironically, was dated a week after he was murdered, like to the day. So they're like, okay, well, they have like really nothing to go on. So they think, well, we'll look at Tammy, the current girlfriend, and April, the
The
ex.
axe.
So, hey, dark hearts, the holidays are upon us, and no matter what you celebrate, birdies make a great gift for your loved ones.
Whether it's the original Birdie with its bright flashing light and loud alarm, or the Birdie Plus with an alarm sending your location to loved ones, the 24/7 call center to help you, or the excuse call to help someone out of an uncomfortable situation, the Birdie is a small device that can give so much.
So give your loved ones the gift of peace of mind this holiday season. Right now, She's Birdie is running a sale. Buy one, get 10% off. Buy three or more and get 20% off. Buy five or more and get 30% off. So the more you purchase, the more you save.
And if you use the link in our show notes and the code DARKHEARTS15 when you check out, you'll get another 15% off. And yes, the discount stack.
With the Birdie, you can stay Heartland kind while also being Darkland wary. Let me see here. I'm kind of jumping around. But so like Melina too, we'll talk about her because obviously she's an ex too, and she doesn't get brought up a whole lot because, she had heard that he had been killed, and she said it was just really sad, saying that it was mostly hard on her girls because they had kind of made amends and he was present in their life. And so she was sad. She said that her and Phil actually had been pretty civil, and she was over all the past drama, and he had actually confided in her and told her that April hadn't been as easy to convince to let him see the kids. And so he was upset, but he was grateful that Melina was letting him see their daughters. So after this, they decide, okay, well, do we go talk to Tammy first? Do we go talk to April? They decide they're going to look or go talk to Tammy, the current girlfriend. So she lives about like 40 miles north of where they're at, in Marshfield, Missouri is the name of that town. So in the meantime, I know I had mentioned that they found that phone box, but no phone ever. So they are able to get a warrant to get like an emergency ping on his phone just to see if that helps with anything. So they don't have that back yet. So in the meantime, they're going to go talk to Tammy. They literally are on their way driving to go talk to her when they get a call that they were able to get that ping back on his phone and it was still hitting towers. So his phone was still turned on. Idiot, oh right? Like
yeah.
Who, yeah. So the phone was heading south towards Arkansas where April lives. So change of plan. They whip around, they leave going up to Tammy. They head south. So they're heading that way. Meanwhile, Tammy does come in voluntarily to talk to the police. She said that she had no idea what had happened to him, that she had tried calling him several times and was worried because she had not heard back from him. They confirm her alibi and they are able to clear her, and there was really no reason to suspect anything else. So now they really are going to like hone in on April. So they check Phil's phone records as well. They see that there was two incoming calls the night he was killed around 9:30 p.m. From an Arkansas number. So the call, they were able to track this, and it came from a track phone that was purchased at a Walmart that was only 2 minutes away from April's house. Also, if he got these calls at 9:30 and the 911 call came in at 10:30, this literally shows a very short time that, yeah. I mean, in between there. So, and it is pretty crazy to me that some of this stuff that they can track down so fast to like find that this phone was purchased at this Walmart and this right. and that, you know, like it's pretty cool. I mean, that they can do that. So they, because of that, they know that it was purchased there. They pull up the store surveillance and they see a woman purchasing this phone. And this woman though, does not match April's description at all. So the woman was short, stocky, and had short, like just short hair. They don't know who it is. So they send this picture to the police there in Arkansas, and the police immediately identify her right away as Amy Herring. They said they knew who she was because they had just been to her house because she had called and reported that her home had been burglarized. So she said there was money, jewelry, and a gun that had been stolen on Friday night. So this is the same night that that murder takes place. Also, ironically, I keep saying ironically, I think, but it is a lot of irony here. The gun that was stolen was a .22 pistol. So it matched. Oh, go ahead.
When did she call in this burglary?
Around midnight. Yeah, I'll talk about that a little bit more, but it's going to be around midnight. So, okay. So who's Amy? Well, Amy was in actually a relationship with April Quick. So they lived together, those two, and then the three kids, the Phil father.
I figured there had to be some sort of connection there.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, okay, they bring April in to talk. So there's actual footage of all of this. And I mean, it doesn't seem necessarily like she's lying, I don't think, right away. She talks about their relationship, how they met, how they moved to Florida. She said that once they had moved to Florida, he became very abusive towards her. She said that he had hit her several times and had thrown her against a brick wall, and she had even fractured her hip. She said every time that he beat her, he made her feel like it was her fault somehow. Okay. That all lines up. That's, I mean, as
Right.
far as abuse, you know, women that have been abused, like that sounds familiar about, you know, making you feel like it's your fault. Oh, sorry, my notes are being all weird here. Now let me scroll up. Sorry, guys, here. I don't know. Yes, delete comment. I don't know what I clicked. I can't. Technology, I tell you what. So
Right.
she said that that's why she, you know, went back to Missouri. So she said once she had gone back to Missouri, she met Amy. I don't know where, but she said that they fell in love and that they had been together for 3 years and had moved to Arkansas. She said that Amy loved the kids like her own. And I mean, she had been with them for so long that they didn't think anything different. And
Right.
she said that they had no contact with Phil and that she had gotten that letter out of nowhere from him. And she was planning on responding, but before she had a chance to, she found out he had been dead. So she said that she heard rumors swirling around about him messing with the wrong man's wife. So she said maybe that had something to do with his death. I don't know. He loved married women. She said that Friday night, her alibi was that her and Amy dropped the kids off at her parents' house and they went to a movie around 9 p.m. They got home around midnight, and that's when they noticed the break-in and they called the police. Also, I don't know how far, but I don't think this where they're at in Arkansas is far from Missouri
I
because they make it
assumed it
sound like it's a
wasn't.
very quick,
Yeah.
yeah. So just thought I'd add that because I mean, when you're talking about different states, it seems like, wait, what? They went from here to
Yeah.
here, but yeah. So she tells them that whole story. Okay. So then police kind of want to like, you know, see what they can pull out of her because they know that there's more to this. It's all like very ironic. They tell her they know that she's lying and she just kind of freaks out and you can see all of this on the interview and she says, oh, okay. I know where this is all going. I'm done. I'm done. I am so done. She's like, I'm getting a lawyer. I'm done. I'm done. Like, she just gets defensive, pissed off, and she gets up and she's trying to leave and everything. And they're like, okay, you definitely have a right to an attorney. So as she's leaving, she
Always get
makes
an
this,
attorney. Always
yeah, which
get
I'm
an
like, you
attorney.
should have had an attorney to begin with.
You
People
should have had
always
it.
think that
Yeah.
that makes them look
No.
guilty immediately, but it's
No.
like, no, they're
Doesn't
there for
matter.
many reasons.
Even if
Like,
you're innocent. I came across a
yes.
lawyer on TikTok and she was like, "It don't talk to the police ever without a lawyer. And
Right.
if you're not under arrest, don't talk to them and just leave. You don't
Yeah,
have to
they don't
stay."
even know. You don't
No.
ever have to even go with them. Like, I
No.
mean, unless you're obviously being arrested, but like,
Right.
I know, I think people, they like to trick people into that too, though. Like,
Yes.
thinking that
Yep.
they have to or they're obligated. And if they don't, then they
Yep.
look guilty. It's like, no,
Nah.
that's how they get you.
Yep.
So as she's leaving, she makes this comment that I feel like almost incriminates her because she said, as she's leaving, nothing is premeditated. I want a lawyer. They're like, wait, what? That's weird. What do you mean? So they
Yeah.
catch that and then they're like, okay, that's interesting. So then they bring in Amy, her girlfriend, for questioning, and she just requests an attorney right away without any conversation, which they're like,
Good.
well, this is suspicious, which it's not, but I mean, in
It's
this
not.
situation, I can see why they think it is, but good. I'm glad that she
Look,
did.
listen, cops are always going to tell you that you look guilty if you ask for a lawyer because they don't want you to ha ask for a lawyer because if you waive that right, anything you say can be used against you and they can twist that shit
Yeah. And they want
around.
to get the information now. They don't want to have to wait and,
Yeah.
you know, like whatever.
Yeah. Cops can lie
So,
to you.
yeah, turns out they sure can. Especially with all these cases that we've done, how many times have we come across cases where the cops are like, I'm just going to say this just to see what they say and like make shit up, you know? It's like,
Yeah,
no.
they'll say
So
shit just to make you slip up.
totally. So they get a warrant to search their home as well, of course. So In the backyard, they find burnt items in a bag. So in the bag, there's clearly a cell phone. They couldn't identify it like positively as his phone because it was burnt. But like you see the picture, it's a straight up phone. There was also a bunch of clothes that had been burned in there and a knife. Okay, guys, that's not gonna burn
No,
metal. Yeah, like I
you
mean,
could have
maybe it burned the
thrown
blood
that.
off, like I guess,
You could have
but
thrown that out anytime on your drive back and
right,
stuff.
because where's the gun? I
And
mean,
I'm
we'll find
not
out,
right.
but
And I'm not
I don't
telling you
understand
how to
that.
get away with murder, but like, let's not be stupid.
Clearly, they're not very smart. And the fact that they just had all that shit still there, like, I'm sorry, you took the time to burn it to try to get rid of it, but then you just kept it there. Like, wow.
And why would you burn it in your own backyard?
Right.
So many
So,
things. Don't shit where you
also,
eat.
yeah. I mean, they're not very smart. Like, this is
Which
always the
is
trend. We
good.
find out, guys, criminals are usually not that smart. That's also
No,
very true.
yeah.
Occasionally, it'll be a very well-educated person who,
Does
I
something
mean,
stupid. Like they
yeah.
sometimes they think they're so smart that they can
Yeah.
outsmart the cop, but
Oh,
then
yes.
they do stupid things still.
Just
Like
don't
you
kill
can be
anybody,
smart and be
people.
stupid.
Yeah.
Like,
There's a difference between street smart and like book smart and, you
yeah.
know. But yeah. So, anyway, they also follow up on their alibi of them going to a movie, and I bet you were shocked to hear they were not at the movie that night.
Oh,
So,
did they even purchase the tickets at least?
I don't even know. It didn't even say, but I'm like, duh, like that would be your first thing to do. Do that.
Yeah.
Go into the movie theater, sneak out through
Sneak
a back
out.
exit or some shit
Yeah.
where they don't. Yes. I don't get it. I mean, once again, not how to get away with murder. This podcast should be called Really, but really, this
But
is not
really, it's
how to
not
get
how to
away
get
with
away with
murder.
murder.
But yeah. So, they have all this information, so they bring April back in and talk to her. And this time she finally just like breaks down and tells them everything that happened from her standpoint. So she says that she called Phil after she got that letter. He asked how the kids were doing, and you know, she said they're fine. He said, I would like to see them. And she said, well, let's meet up and we can talk about it. So they decided to meet at the place where they used to meet when he was still married to Melina and where they would have an affair.
Gross.
So it's this where his body was found, but it's a small little, it's kind of a pretty little park. They said it's just like a simple picnic table, small playground. So they decide to meet there. So April said she was really scared to see him because of the history of abuse. So she brought along Amy and a gun for safety purposes. So as once they get there, she told Amy, stay behind, just don't let him see you. I don't want him to know. She said she did not want him to know that she was a lesbian because she thought he would try to use that against her to get custody of the kids, which I'm like, okay, maybe, but also like this is a pretty recent, like, but still, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's her reason why she stays behind. So she gets out of the car, approaches him. They're kind of standing between their cars and they're talking. She said that it started kind of just like he was angry right away and he was very persistent that he wanted to see his kids. And she told him, well, the kids don't even know you. They don't even have a relationship with you. He got super pissed. He called her a bitch and said that she would not keep the kids from him. She said he proceeded to grab her and that it all just happened so fast that he grabbed the back of her hair. And this is when Amy saw what was happening and she got out of the car, comes up behind him and starts stabbing him to get him off of April. Amy yelled to April to get the gun. And so April grabbed the gun. And when she said, when she was passing it over to Amy and they were still kind of scuffling, the gun accidentally went off and shot him in the head.
Right,
So
it
she
accidentally went
said,
off right up against his head.
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought
Okay.
too. And there was no
Okay.
residue on you or okay.
Yeah.
Which I guess enough time has passed that they probably
All
wouldn't
right,
know.
but
But either way, she said after that happened, they just started freaking out. So during this part of the interview, she's like hysterical sobbing. Like I can't tell. Well, I mean, I kind of can. Like she's clearly acting, but you don't know if there's this really remorse. Like, you can hardly even understand her because she's bawling so much during this interview. She's like hysterical. And she just keeps saying over and over, and she's like rocking in her chair, you know, and she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Over and over and over and over. And she kept saying, it wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. So she said after it happened, they just, you know, because they freaked out. So they made it look like it was a robbery. So they took his cash and phone. And after they left, I don't know exactly where, but she said they went and set the bag on fire. And then as they were driving home, they threw the gun out the window. So April said that once they got home, she was really worried about them finding the bag of burned stuff. So she went back and got it and brought it home and put it in the backyard. You're better off just leaving it where you found it.
Yeah.
Dumbass. And especially, why would you take it home with you? And if you're going to ditch the gun, why wouldn't you just ditch the other items as well? Yeah.
Why'd you have it all in a bag together? Why didn't you throw them all separately? Again, not telling you how to get away with murder.
Correct. But if you were, no. So then when they get home, you know, they're all frazzled since this was just a complete accident. And she said that they decide to say that their house had been broken into to kind of cover things up. So they get all that information from her. That's the story. And they're, you know, there's a confession. Okay. So they have that. However, the evidence like doesn't line up with that. So they say that they don't think the gun accidentally went off. So, you know, this is about 4 days after the murder. So she had confessed that it was accidental. So they then talk to Amy. Amy's story is a little different than April's. And remember, they have not had contact since they've been arrested. So she says that they had contacted Phil after they had received his threatening letters where he threatened lawyers and all the things. She said they met up with him and he immediately got physical. So she said she jumped out of the car and started to stab him to protect April. Her exact words she said during their little interview was, I stabbed the motherfucker until he hit the ground and then I shot him in the head. So Amy says that they both did not grab the gun. She takes full responsibility and like wants to protect April. So when they tell her what April's story was about how they both grabbed the gun and it accidentally went off, she says, well, that might have been what happened. I don't actually remember, but that might have been what happened. I think that's what happened. Like, really?
Why wouldn't you also have a story lined up just in case you guys got caught?
No shit. Like, you've had how much time? I mean, I guess I don't know how many days in between have transpired, but
on the drive back, which had to have been at the very least an hour. Why, yeah. You know, like, so if
this is what's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. So then this she's kind story. Of like way to backpedal there. Yeah. So, they're like, yeah, okay, this is a bunch of bullshit. And it's ironic that the gun was close range. Also, if they're fighting over a gun, it's not going to be super close range unless he's like diving in the middle. And it's
not
going to
be a good shot. Right. Like, it's not going to be like, right. Oh, we're just like close range into your temple.
Right. Directly into your temple. Yeah. And he was already stabbed in his head. So like, chances are he was probably already on the ground. So like,
right.
Yeah. No, you're not going to be fighting over the gun if he's already laying there almost dead.
Yeah.
So they have that. So then they also look into the abuse allegations. And I would never say that a woman is making that stuff up because once again, we know how that goes.
Right. But if you're saying you had a fractured hip, in order to know that, I would assume you went to the doctor. So there should be a medical record.
Right. And they never talk about that. However, they do reach out to several of his ex-girlfriends, you know, his ex-wife. They talked to lots of different people that he had contact with during like the party days and also the sober days to see if maybe when he was drunk, right. It was different. Not one person had any experience with him being a violent person. April was the only person who said that. And there was no documentation, no medical like documentation, anything. No.
Yeah.
So by all accounts too, we know he went through a bad time in his life. Everybody does at a certain point, you know, but like, yeah, I don't think he ever was like a violent person.
Yeah.
So she was the only one that said that. So that kind of didn't line up. And also there was no wounds, like defensive wounds on her or Amy. So if this really was truly self-defense, they would have been able to show defense marks, right? And show that they were fighting him off. They had nothing on them. Like they literally just attacked him blind. And, you know, they wouldn't have staged the crime scene and burned evidence if this was truly an accident or a self-defense situation. So the whole thing all along was they definitely planned to meet him and kill him. They planned to file the false police report. That letter must have just sent them over the edge and it scared them. So they know that they don't have a leg to stand on. So they both end up playing out. So they, of course, get, you know, a deal, and they pled guilty to second degree murder. So this is where it kind of is a bunch of BS, in my opinion. Amy, the girlfriend, sentenced to 15 years.
That's it?
And April was sentenced to 20 years. Is this not insane? The community, like, could not believe that this was all that they got. People were pissed, as they should be. So get this. In September of 2025, April will be eligible for parole at the age of 47. She still has her whole life to live. 47! Like, that's, I want to say that's almost my age, but it's not at all, actually. But, like, I feel like I'm not that far off. And I just think, like, you're getting a slap on the wrist.
My daughter will be almost 18 when I'm, she'll be 17 years old when I'm 47, which, ew.
I don't even know the math on that. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't know. We're not going to go down that road because that makes me feel old. But then, Amy. Okay, this is what's really weird and to me, like, she's the one that actually pulled the trigger too, you know? So she will be eligible for parole. It said in the end of 2022, which,
oh my god,
here we are. Am I not right? Yeah. So as soon as I saw that and all the things I found, I immediately started looking that up to see if she's been paroled. I can't find anything anywhere. So maybe when they say, like, the end, like, they literally mean very end of December. Yeah. Because I don't know. And I don't know. Well, the last I looked, it said that she was still incarcerated, but yeah, it could have been delayed too. But, like, don't they have to tell you that when, especially a violent criminal is paroled? Yeah. I mean, that has to be public knowledge.
Unless it got denied. Unless it already got denied.
The most recent information I could find on it was in October. So, I mean,
yeah,
a couple months back, but that's where we're at with that. So, they really got a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
And it was clearly planned, in my opinion. And I also don't know how I hadn't heard of this story with it being fairly recent. I mean, and in Missouri. But yeah, so that's the story. And unfortunately, it's a very sad story. I mean, it's not like Phil, you know, was without fault at all. But like, he really was, I think, trying to make amends and make things right from what he had messed up in the past. But that's the case of Philip Taylor and April Quick. So the Snapped episode, if you want to watch that at all, which I'll put some pictures in there as well too when we post this on our socials. But it's season 31, episode 12, and the title of the episode is April Quick. It's very interesting. I always love seeing like the investigators and stuff, you know, when they interview people, it's always just kind of nice to like have a visual of things, and they show lots of evidence and stuff in there. So, I don't want to say that one wasn't as heavy because it's still very sad. Someone lost their life and there's all those kids. I mean, ultimately are the ones that are going to suffer because they lost both parents. Well,
yeah, some of them. Three did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a very sad story, but that was one in good old Missouri.
Wow. I do have one I want to cover for Missouri eventually. I know it's been done before in other ones, but it's interesting. I'll chat with you after.
That's a lot of them are. I mean, but sometimes it's interesting to hear them again. And I think some of those well-known cases, you don't always know the details or you forget a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's always okay to redo one. It's eventually we're going to have some repeats. I mean,
this one
murdered,
I feel
which...
like is still... It's been done by a couple bigger ones. I think Small Town Murder might have covered it. But, like, I think it's still niche enough. Like, it's not like BTK, you know?
Yeah, or, right.
Or one of those. So, yeah. That's well, that's, you know, like you said though, because like I won't lie, the one I have planned for Nebraska for next week is, I'm a little surprised I'm doing it. It plays on my fears of being
I know
murdered
what
by,
those fears are, so I know
yeah.
exactly what this is. I mean, which you did tell me, but I would know
Yeah.
that, I guess, anyway, because I know what your fear is, which is
Yep. So
it's
it'll
good
be
stuff.
interesting. But yeah, you guys, reach out in any way you want
Love
to.
that.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Heartland period Darkland Podcast at gmail.com. We're happy to chat. We're happy to talk. Yeah, I just, it's been already, so much has gone on in this day. We've done so much already.
I
And it's like
know.
12:13, and I'm just like, I don't
Drained.
even know anymore,
I
like
know.
where we're
That's how
at.
I
That's why I
feel.
kind of like chatted it a little bit in the beginning, because especially because we had just recorded my minisode, and it was like,
Which was
I need a
heavier.
minute to
Yeah.
transition.
I know. I know. I feel that. Oh, it's like a lot today, and the weather doesn't help because, I just like need a nap or something.
Right, a nap sounds delightful. Might still happen a little bit before I go get my facial today.
Oh yeah, I forgot that that's happening for you. Well,
Yes.
there you go. You enjoy that.
Oh, I'm going
Enjoy your
to.
nap. If you guys don't know about our Patreon, you can join that. There's some fun exclusives. We're actually working on getting some stuff ordered bulk wise.
Yeah. So for
So
our patrons, especially Luis, who you've been so patient, we know you haven't gotten your promised stuff yet. We promise.
we
We're
do.
getting
It's
there.
just, yeah, just two people. And that's why this Patreon is very helpful, because every little bit of support, I mean, even the financial support on that end, which if you can't financially support us, we understand that. And just like we said, word of mouth is the best.
Word of
But
mouth, sharing, liking,
yeah,
reviewing,
any of that
rating,
is
all
very
the
helpful.
things.
But
Yeah.
if you are in a position or you feel so inclined to sign up for the Patreon, there are a couple different ways you can do that in different levels where, you know, you pay just $5 a month. That's one
Yeah.
coffee a month, or 10 bucks a month, and that's two coffees a month. That's it.
Yep.
And it's just really goes back into the podcast. We want to put it in the podcast to make it even better, because we're super passionate about doing this. We love doing this for you guys. And we're excited to just kind of keep growing with it and hopefully covering
Yeah.
more cases that you guys share with us over time.
Yes.
And I mean, yeah, thanks
That's
for just listening.
yeah,
That's great. We
thanks
love
for
to
being
have
here
anyone
with us.
listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're already, you know, we're so close to 50 episodes. This will be episode 41.
I know. It's
Like,
insane.
right?
How? That's so cool. It's
Right?
amazing.
Because we're not going to number the minisode as at full blown episode, so that doesn't count. Like, it's there, it's an
Nah.
episode, it's important, but it's not a
Yeah.
full episode. It's its own minisode.
Correct.
And you know, the thing is as cases come in and stories come in, especially if there are other BIPOC, you know, who reach out to us and have stories they want us to share, you know, this might be a thing that comes up. You know, we still want to do an episode of like listener stories and stuff too. Whether it's true crime or paranormal, something weird, a weird encounter, were you abducted by aliens? You know.
Was someone weird talking to you at the store? I mean,
Yeah,
anything like
like
that. We love to
anything.
hear those
Yeah, we
'cause you
love to
just
hear from
never
you
know.
guys. Yeah. But until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.